Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Best I could do. Wait, bok, bok, bok! There we go. Sorry, the soundboard died. Oh.
You gotta give some space, Colton. Wake up, Hollywood! Yeah, I'm your host, Nikki Carulla, with Dennis the Menace and Eddie Pence.
Just talking to it. Talking to it. Okay, there we go.
How you doing, Eddie?
I'm good.
What's going on? What's new in your world?
Oh, nothing. Just got the kid here again.
No babysitter.
I am the babysitter.
Colton, do you ever get timeouts from dad?
I will never sit on a baby.
Whoa. That's good news.
That's good.
You see any movies this week?
What did Colton? If you don't stop messing with the microphone, then you can't be on the show.
Ooh. See how that works?
All right. Okay.
Okay, guys. Everyone, listen.
What's going on with you, Eddie?
Colton, stop burping. Nothing really. Not a whole lot.
You do any shows?
No, I've had any shows this week. I'll have some next week. I don't have any right now.
You want to play a joke?
No.
No?
No.
What joke do you have?
What's your joke?
Wait. Let me think about it. Okay. What makes frogs so happy? They eat whatever bugs them.
I like it. That's good.
Nice.
That's a keeper.
Nice. Will usually do them sound.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
we don't have a soundboard.
The soundboard is dead
tonight.
Battery died.
Too bad.
No hamsters left.
Too bad.
Eddie's like, I've got all the sound effects. Did you watch the Grammys?
I did not.
The Grammys were kind of lousy.
I heard no one liked them.
You know what? I'm very happy that Bruno Mars had a clean sweep, which is what I voted for.
Yeah.
A lot of the people I voted for won.
What is the... Colton?
Stop.
What?
Ooh, getting punished on the air. Damn.
Why they have a record of the year and album of the year? What's the difference?
Okay, so you mean song of the year. Record of the year means
the whole
actual
record.
The recording. So, like, if I go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's the record.
Right.
The song of the year is the writing. So it's both. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. So let's say I do a great song. Yeah. If I write a great song, and let's say the recording's just okay, it may be up for song of the year, but it won't be up for recording of the year.
Right.
Record of the year. It should be called recording of the year, but... They just say record because that's what it is. You know what I mean?
That's weird.
But he did a clean sweep. Song of the year, record of the year, album of the year. He also picked up a couple. I think he did a pop single, pop male vocal. I think he got that one.
Yeah.
And he got a couple other ones. So I was stoked about that.
That's cool.
But I was really disappointed with the performances. Really just like, you know, kind of disappointed. Especially when like I'm so passionate about music and to see... So many mediocre performances when I know so many great performers.
Yeah, but is it hard to just come out and do one song?
Yes, but everybody that's nominated should be, you know, at the level where it's like they should be able to do it like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Eddie, I've never seen the fierce face. Colton busted.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? I mean, you know, at least, you know, in your field, like with film and TV.
Yeah.
Well, the TV, I think the Emmys are pretty close to the Grammys. But the Oscars, I really feel like there's at least some standards of quality. You know what I mean?
So I don't know. They start nominating 9 and 10 films a year, so I tuned out at that point.
I agree when they do that. It's to promote.
It's just to put it on the poster.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't really.
But there's still quality. Like, a lot of the movies that are nominated are fantastic. And there were a lot of albums that I don't think should have been nominated that were getting a lot of attention. So, but the biggest thing to me is, like, the live performances, they should be able to throw down. And it was like, it's starting to look like a high school talent show, you know? You know, even with the tributes. The tributes aren't great. The, you know, when they have collaborations, they're kind of like...
Yeah, but you're meshing these people together who don't perform together. It's not... You're just like...
Stupid.
Just because you're putting the two great things together doesn't mean it's going to be a... It's just... I don't know.
And, you know, the funny thing is they don't show a lot of the other acts. Like Reggae, the one I was up for last year, they didn't show that, which is fine. That's fine. But there are some performances that were really great that they could have showed that I know were never televised. And the Rolling Stones were up for Best Blues Album, but they weren't even a performer. It's like, why not have them just do a tribute to Chuck Berry instead of having Gary Clark Jr. do it? Gary Clark Jr. is great, but it was just like, it just wasn't that tight. It could have been amazing, and it just wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit bummed about that.
My seat just farted.
Your seat farted?
Yes. It's like this. It's like going... There it goes.
God. So did you watch it at all?
I'm actually going to fart.
You're
going
to fart?
Okay. There we go.
Great.
Did you watch it by chance?
No.
You never watched the movies?
I don't watch any award shows.
Why? Just because you don't like them?
I just don't. Ah. I don't care about them. I just don't.
I mean, I kind of watch them to keep my finger on the pulse to see what's like getting attention. You know what I mean? But you know, the hard thing is when they what's getting attention is not really.
I just never. I'm just not into that part of Hollywood. I don't know. I'd rather make the movie or be in the movie or watch the movie. I don't really care about the award show. I was like, I don't really.
I get that.
It's a part of Hollywood that I think turns everyone off.
Right.
Like the rest of the world?
Well, it's just like unnecessary, you know?
Yeah, it's just a bunch of patting on yourself on the back. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, you know what? The other thing, is the other thing is they took up the Best Rock album and...
Good thing. I just was done.
All right.
Right.
Hello, welcome our guests. All right, come on down. We were just talking about the Grammys, Alex.
You came in right on time. I was about to rage.
All right, come on in, put the headphones on.
Hello.
You got a special guest, too. What's your name? All right.
My name is Sarah Jane. It's nice to meet you.
Sarah Jane, nice to meet you as well.
Right on.
Sarah Jane is a stunning cellist and
very good ukulele and very good vocalist as well. She plays with a band called Red Pony Clock.
Red Pony Clock. I like that. I'm very stoked about that.
Cool.
Right on.
That's awesome. Where are you from?
I'm from Albany, New York originally. Been living in LA for 3 years.
Upstate. How do you like the difference?
It's very different.
You miss the pizza, we know.
Oh, yeah. I miss it a lot. I've only had a couple contenders here that I would say, like, okay. And people really get on my case for being a pizza snob, but I'm like, fuck you. Excuse me?
You can swear. Don't worry.
That's fine.
Oh, well, I forgot.
Whoa, cat's out the bag.
I told her on the way here, I was like, I believe this is subject to FCC regulations, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, swear all the time.
Fuck you in New York. We're snobs about pizza.
Well, what's your LA pizza that's on the same level?
I would highly recommend going to Pizza Nista in East LA, not too far from Boyle Heights. Okay. Very good, lots of toppings. And the crust, actually, when you fold it as you're supposed to eat a slice of pizza, it cracks right up the middle.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Mm. All right, I'm going to have to try that before I go.
So you're saying you like your pizzas to have a butt crack?
Hell yeah.
What other spots?
Other than that, the only other one that I have found to be of suitable caliber is in South Pasadena, my stomping grounds, and it's Mama's on Fair Oaks.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I'd say Village Pizza, pretty close.
I don't think I know that one.
Yeah, it's good. It's on.
Is that the one in Larchmont?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right on.
New York Pizza.
Oh, cool. I've had that. I've had that one on Larchmont. Yeah, I've been there. That's good. Legit. That's good. That's a good pie.
I'm telling you,
that's a good pie.
You're but telling me.
But I cannot compare to New York Pizza. I just like New York Pizza.
Yeah, I know you can't.
You can't. But anyways, we were talking about the Grammys and how they took the rock album. They didn't have the rock album or the rock song on the telecast, which was kind of stupid. It's like, how can you showcase all of these genres and not have rock and roll, which is dumb. Did you watch the Grammys by chance?
You know, I miss the Grammys, man. I actually kind of boycott the Grammys these days. I don't watch that shit anymore. It's because it's a popularity contest,
But at least Bruno Mars.
The Bruno Mars did a clean sweep. That was good.
And you know what? It's good that there's at least that quality stamp on the industry.
Can I say something about Bruno Mars?
Please.
The first time I ever heard the song, Uptown Funk. I'm a huge funk fan. I was raised primarily on Motown and funk music by my parents.
Awesome.
And I don't listen to the radio a lot, but I heard that song when it first came out. I was just like, this is from another time.
Yeah.
This is like something that is really missing.
Yes.
He is permanently obsessed with 80s funk
and it's beautiful.
R&B.
And he plays guitar solos, he plays drums. He plays keys.
Yeah, he played drums on the last part of that track on Uptown Funk.
Oh, really?
He played the drums on that.
He's a badass.
Yeah, so Bruno's great.
I'm stoked that that's there, but like, you know, there are a
true
lot of
multi-talent. Yeah, like true. Totally.
Mm-hmm. So at least they're awarding that, but there were a lot of, I was just telling Eddie, a lot of performances were very similar.
Garbage.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. So
what was
Alex.
That song Treasure? What was the song Treasure that he did? What was it called?
Treasure.
That's what you are. That's a great tune.
What a great tune.
What a great tune.
Total bebop, like Motown.
No, exactly. Exactly. That has like Whip It by Daz Band written all over it.
Yeah. That was her stuff.
I know my stuff.
She knows her stuff.
This
is why I brought her in.
All right.
We just drove like bats out of hell when we were on the Ventura County line at Neptune's Net having some fish and chips after enjoying
it's a haul.
Enjoying the beach out by Cane and Doom. We drove north to the Ventura County line and got ourselves some fish and chips. And then we heard from you. And I was like, we got to go.
Alex is one of my favorite people on the planet. He has a rehearsal space right down
upstairs.
Hall.
Now upstairs.
Oh, is it upstairs? You went upstairs now.
Oh, I went upstairs. I got a much better studio up there.
Moving on up.
Oh, I had it built out to my specifications. Yeah, wow. Actually, now it's a two-room place.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, having to give it up at this point.
Let's talk about that real quick because I don't even know this, but Eddie, he's moving back to Montana.
Well, no, I'm not going to say moving. I'm bi-locating. I'm still going to maintain activity down here in Los Angeles because frankly I got places to stay and I got places to work and I can't really leave this place.
No,
yeah, yeah.
I'm about to leave too and you can't actually really leave.
No, you can't. No. Why are y'all leaving?
Well, there are different times, I'm going to southwestern Montana, going up to Bozeman, which has a bumping music scene, amazing people.
Do you miss the music scene when you're here?
I'm going to miss the music scene here, but I miss the music scene up there. I mean, I don't know if you know, but JT lives up there, and he sometimes will actually show up, and just randomly to shows in Bozeman, show up. You know, one time someone told me a story about this one time that, guy in a hoodie, kind of low pro, gets up in the middle, when they were doing a set changeover, right? One band had finished and they were setting up the next band. And he got up there with his guitar and he just started playing. And everybody was like, who's that guy who just got up on stage without invitation? And they're like, shh, it's JT.
Whoa, that's right? Amazing.
Yeah, no.
He's a place in Bozeman?
Yeah, I don't know where exactly his place is, but he's around. I mean, there are a lot of musicians who hang out up there.
John Mayer's got a place up there too.
Yeah, John Mayer's got a place up there.
And I got middle school heartthrob, pom 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 pom.
Me or John Mayer?
Me and John Mayer.
But you know,
seventh grade.
You know, one of the big reasons I'm moving back is that, you know, there's a whole music community there that brought me up in the music,
yeah.
And you know, and there's a need that I feel to I want to give back to the community that brought me up.
That's awesome.
And I'm at a good point in my life to be able to actually make
nurture.
This change,
yeah.
You know, and come back there and
see. Eddie never wants to go visit where he was.
Where were you, Eddie?
Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's awesome. Northern Virginia's beautiful.
Can I say something about Virginia? I went to Virginia Beach, and I have never seen this in my life. Only Virginia Beach. Not to lump Northern Virginia in with Virginia Beach, but I'm just saying, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Respect.
No, Virginia is very different. You go to Virginia Beach,
as anywhere
way different
is,
than Northern Virginia.
But whenever I think Virginia, I was on the beach there, and I saw actually, like, government traffic-created signage that said, like, do not swear.
Really?
Wow.
Like, I had no idea that that was a thing. It, like, straight up was, like, no profanity, like, you will be fined. Like, actually written on a metal sign.
Wow.
Anyway.
Eddie.
What do you fucking that's think not, about
I'm not,
that,
I have nothing to do with it. I'm not the governor of Virginia.
Well, what is it about Northern Virginia that you don't want to go back to?
I go back and visit once a year.
But you don't want to go back and do
I don't want to live else. There. That's
you
why I moved away from there.
Community.
Sure. I understand.
There's
that.
Not a community there. It's not. It's D.C. It's Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, I lived in D.C., so I get that.
Yeah, there's not like.
There's the monuments.
You go there for the history of it, but like. You go there for the history of the country, but other than that, you're like. Well,
other than that, it's
I've
a bunch of miserable
I've been to
drunks.
Historic Jamestown. That was interesting.
Yeah, the history of the place is.
Boston's really good for that sort of thing, too.
Boston's like a real city.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
But the Freedom Trail, if you're really into like history, you can go see the Old North Church. You can see where fucking Paul Revere rang his goddamn shit or lit
see
the lanterns,
house.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
She swears like a sailor. I like it.
Yeah.
I need that spunk.
It's hard. Preschool teacher, it's hard.
You should hear her when she sings. She swears even more.
Wow.
Do I?
Maybe.
Fuck.
So you want to go back and just like nurture new talent, kind of.
Well, I'm wanting to go back to just be a part of the scene. You know, just like I said, give back to the community that brought me up. You know, and
that's
I'm
really
still going to be
great.
Down here. You know, it's not that far of a drive, believe it or not.
How far is the drive?
The drive's about 15 or 16
and
hours.
That's really not bad.
And you know, if you go with a friend, driving shifts, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it in one snap.
Absolutely.
And it's easy. It's easy to come back. It's very easy to come back. I can do that drive in my sleep.
Really?
Oh yeah.
State of mind, man. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention now flights are cheap these days. Going back and forth between
depending
the two places,
on
so.
When you fly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you gonna play more or teach more?
I don't know. We're gonna find that out. I'm not exactly certain exactly. What is going to happen.
Was there a catalyst that made you just go, okay, I need to go back home?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, you know, I saw what was happening in Los Angeles with the gentrification and the cost of living starting to go up, and I was like, okay, I'm lucking out right now with the place that I'm in, right? But, you know, sure enough, you know, the landlord gets wise and says, oh, I can be charging a whole lot more, and I'm on a month-to-month lease, and, you know, of course, they raise the rent. So I start looking around and going, man, $1,200 for a room in a one-bedroom apartment?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
My old apartment that I used to live in for 11 years used to be $1,600. In 11 years, it went up to $1,900. And now it's $3,300.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous right
I
now.
Believe
I
that.
Mean, and you know, and I don't know if you've noticed, but musicians in Los Angeles are leaving in droves. You've noticed this, right?
Yeah.
There's this mass exodus happening, and I guess I'm a part of it now. You know, sort of a, you know, it's just.
Well, clubs are drying up.
Clubs are drying up. I mean, House
what
of Blues is gone.
That, what do you think that's
every time I ever saw you. Every time I ever saw you play, Nikki.
We'll answer that in a second. Go ahead.
Every time I ever saw you play, Nikki was at the House of Blues.
I miss that venue
and
every day.
And now what's there? What is that? A high-rise apartment
it's gonna
now?
It's going to be a hotel.
Oh.
They said they're going to move.
Oh, my God.
There's going to be another House of Blues, but I mean, yeah, it's really sad. I think, to answer your question,
yeah.
I think a lot of it's because albums aren't selling. I think
the albums are dead.
Yeah, and musicians are, you know, like artists are, I think across the board, art is really looked at as an afterthought. What do you think, Eddie? Mm. Do you think art in general is just...
Yeah, it's all commerce now. I mean, everything is...
Business.
Business.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's what happens when, you know, money moves in. Money, my philosophy about this is that money ruins everything. Money ruins everything.
It also makes everything.
I know, it's like...
Depends which side of the coin you're on.
So it's a vicious cycle.
You have to have it.
Yeah, you have to have it. And it's like, it's nice when you have it, but it's...
And it's horrible when you don't.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Eddie, what do you think about the movement of art in general? Do you think... Do you have, I know you've got commentary on the film business and comedy clubs. I mean, they're doing the same thing.
It's just because I think the internet's killed the world. I think the world's going to die because of the internet. And I think it's killed everything. It's killed art. It's killed everything. And it's just because you can download a song instead of buy the album. You can just like, so it's just made. You know, pick and choose what you want instead of like, I have to buy this whole album, and then you discover things on that album.
Things are too customized.
That you didn't know. So it's like, yeah, you can pick what you want. And like, before you had to go to 3 channels to watch everything or 5 channels, but now you can just go on the internet and just watch what you want to watch.
Like, things are too at our.
As connected as everyone is, it's even more isolated because you can just pick and choose what you want. It's just like. No one discovers anything new, and it's just like, oh, people click on this a lot. Let's make more of what they're clicking
clickbait,
on.
Clickbait.
Yep, that's right. That's
they like this one song gets downloaded more than the others. Let's make a bunch of songs that sound like that.
I think that really all points to just a general turn in instant gratification. We live in a world where everything's available at your fingertips. I want this. I want it quick. Here it is. On to the next one. And that's it.
We were talking about this the other day. A friend of mine and I, Big Joe Hurt, by the way, I got to pump up him. Big Joe Hurt and I were talking about this quite a while back. And that is, you know, your content has become your advertising. So the only solution our musicians really have is to stop performing.
Right.
We have to stop.
Why is that?
If we stop performing, there will be no more live music. You say, we demand that we get paid for our live performance. If you're going to take our recordings, and everything's going to be accessible via Spotify or Pandora or whatever
YouTube,
else,
whatever
other streaming service is stealing our music, which is basically what's happening now, then the only solution that we have is to make money through live performance. Mm. If we all just say, you know what, hey, I'm not performing anymore.
Like, you can't have us.
You can't have us. Unless
there's always somebody that's like, I'll do it.
Right, I know. That's the problem, right?
That's the problem.
You know, you go to like, you know, little hole in the wall restaurants that'll say, well, you know, we can, you know, you have to bring 15 people and then we'll give you guys a meal ticket.
Mm-hmm.
15 people and we'll give you guys a meal ticket. It's good exposure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, exposure don't pay rent, man.
Right.
No,
that's amazing.
No, it doesn't.
Eddie has shed the light on the comedy clubs, how, like, unfair. Like, you think we have a bad...
Oh, comedians got it the worst,
it's
right?
It's crazy.
It's
talk
terrible.
I'm curious to hear about that.
Eddie, go ahead. Here's your moments.
What do you want me to say?
Talk about the comedy scene for a couple minutes.
Talk about how comedians are at even more of a disadvantage in this apparent age of death of creativity and value of art.
Oh my God. That's a loaded question.
That's a lot.
I just talk a lot. No, it's just... It's like, with, I mean, they're just... Because they'll throw it up. They'll throw up a show anywhere. We can put a mic stand. Like, oh, let's do a comedy show here. Oh, how much are you going to pay the comic? Why would you pay the comic?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When did that become the norm?
Like, when did it become the norm to not value talent?
Yeah.
I mean, they do shows. I mean, even you do clubs around the country. Like, I'll headline a club, and it's getting cheaper and cheaper. Like, I did a club 3 weeks ago. 4 shows. I got $700 for 4 one-hour shows. But you have to travel there. You have to pay for your travel. It's just like you can't make a living doing it.
Certainly not.
That sounds really
but
rough.
But there would be no show if it wasn't for the one person staying on stage talking in the microphone. Like, everyone else is there because of you, but you're getting paid $150 a show.
I did a to very relevant to that, I did a national tour with Red Pony Clock this summer. 18 nights, 18 stops, and it was exhausting, back to back to back. And the only money we got, that was gas, man.
Wow. Yeah.
That's yeah. it. We literally, yeah, you know, we would drive like 700, 600 mile stretches, like night after night after night. Like,
because if you don't go on stage, someone else will.
Exactly.
That's right. Because
exactly.
There can never be a union with comedians, and there will never be a union with music.
With artists.
With artists in
know?
General, because there's always someone that will like, oh, I'll do that.
I'll do it.
Well, yeah, there's always a sucker.
There always will be.
That's the problem. It's too easy to get exposure through the internet. As we were saying earlier, the internet may actually kill music.
It's going to kill everybody.
Hasn't. Yeah, well,
it's going to kill the world.
And you know,
if it hasn't, we might be in the post-death stage.
Because, you know, there used to be a musicians union, and it used to be very strong. You know, the union.
When was that?
That was like back like in the 40s, yeah, man. Okay. I mean, we're talking like a long time ago. I mean, probably you know, maybe before that. I don't know the whole
And you mean there was more of a...
Yeah, there was an actual union. You know, there still is a union. You know, the local 47.
Yeah, but it doesn't do much.
They don't do anything. Yeah, but there used to be a union. It used to be a strong union.
Your union is only as strong as the members are committed to that union.
Sure.
It doesn't. Yeah. As long as you have people out there going, I'll do that for what? How much? $50? I'll do that.
Yeah, a team is only as great as its parts.
So yeah. You can't have a union.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, let's get on to something a little bit more positive.
I know. It's like,
music is dying. Art is dead.
So, Alex, how did you start? You started in Montana, right?
I started in Montana, and then I moved here when I was 18. I went to CalArts. Shout out to them. And went to CalArts, and was after CalArts. That's actually when I met
Zane.
I knew Zane. And right after CalArts is when I met Swamini.
Right.
And Aranyan, and I haven't been in touch with him very much. Shout out to Aranyan Coltrane, by the way, if he's out there somewhere, wherever you are, I love you. I met Swamini, and that sort of initiated the movement in my life to
meditate. Right?
Well, I'd been meditating for a long time, but she guided me through a pretty dark period of my life. And then I you know, moved out here, like, really to L.A. and, you know, started working. And I've been working ever since, you know. It's been going on 15 years strong, you know, with the studio, both, you know, recording, teaching, doing a little bit of producing. And it's been a blast. I've had a really good time out here.
I love producing just because I get to work from home, and it's like I set my own hours, I set my own pace.
Yeah.
But there's something, I just played the Sundance Film Festival a couple weeks ago, and it was great to leave and play, but I couldn't wait to come home and just have my life back to normal. But there's always like, I don't know if you guys feel this as touring artists, you probably all do, but when you're home, you got that itch to get out, and when you're out,
you got that itch to be home.
Do you feel like that, Eddie? Or do you?
But yeah, I got it. Kid and a dog and a wife.
Yeah. And you want to be home.
You want to be home.
I love the collaboration too. If you're producing something in the studio, sometimes, you know, you got an artist in there, and, you know, a lot of the times I'm there hired to do the drum stuff, but sometimes I end up in the producer's chair, you know, just sitting there going, what if we try this? What if we try that? And, you know, you start bouncing ideas off of each other, and you're right there, and it's nice to have a studio where you can just sit down and just have that creative environment where you can, you know, bounce ideas and let's try this, let's try that. And these days, because of, you know, I mean, it's all digital. It's not like we're burning tape, right? So we got all the time in the world.
But I think that there's something good about tape, because when you record on tape, it makes you edit. It's like, oh, we don't need this superfluous idea. Let's make the idea that we need.
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah.
And very relevant to this, I didn't mean to cut you off. I studied multi-track production in college.
Where'd
and there's
you go to school?
Oswego University in upstate New York.
Okay.
It's a SUNY school. And there's a lot to be said for the movement from, you know, not digital to digital. And there's a lot of talent and patience and very fine-tuned ability that went out the window with analog. That people are incredibly spoiled. No, like, I'm only 27. Like, I can't even imagine what it must have truly been like to produce and engineer hits and records.
It's the same thing with film.
Yeah, well,
Now every dickhead with a camera makes a movie, and you're like, we don't need this on the internet.
Camera? How about the newest iPhone?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Back then, when you wanted to make a short film, you had to have $10,000 to $15,000.
Not anymore.
Minimum to make a short film.
And now what do you think?
Now you could make a feature for nothing.
Almost nothing.
I mean, it wouldn't look the best, but you could still make it and put it out there.
And it's happened.
And add to the noise.
It's
average mediocre noise that's flooding the internet.
I think the mediocrity of it is really due to the fact that, you know, it is beautiful that the internet is a thing that, you know, most people have access to, and the exchange of ideas and access to ideas is beautiful, but it also means that any fucking Joe Schmo with any goddamn thing to say or do can just shit it out on those airwaves.
There's no filter.
There's nobody saying like, no, you can't make it past. Sorry, like there's no substance there. And like that doesn't exist.
There's no hard work that get like right. before you had to like really want it and focus at it and work at it and grind
ethic,
it out and
ethic.
Get it there. Now it's just like, I'll do this. And so you're lumping your hard work in with some guy who just got out and did something that he didn't even put two thoughts into. And
It's scary.
And here we are back in here. Bleakville.
It isn't all that bad. Alex, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but who are some of your favorite drummers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can name. Now it depends on who you on what kind of music.
Yeah, what style?
Jazz, funk, rock.
Okay, so jazz. That's easy. Jack DeJohnette. That's an easy
done
one. Yeah, Jack DeJohnette. You know, Adam Nussbaum, my mentor Joe LaBarbera,
Art Blakey.
Those old cats are great, man. I love Art Blakey. You know, that's the stuff that really influences me. Jack DeJohnette would have to be the top one. You know, and you can listen to any of his, like he's all over the place. He's still alive and kicking and just making beautiful music. But he's known for working with the Keith Jarrett Trio.
Okay.
So Keith Jarrett, Gary Peacock, Jack DeJohnette, that group. So he's really known for that. And then working with Miles Davis, he was on Bitches Brew. And Jack DeJohnette's one of my favorites. Funk and hip hop, Questlove.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Questlove. That's all I got to say.
I opened
for
The Roots, and a friend of mine painted a picture for him. And so I gave it to him, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to get a picture so my friend knows that you got it, you know? And so we take the picture, and then I walk away, and he's like, oh, wait, is this for me? And I was like, yeah, man. He said, oh, usually people give me something this nice, they just want me to take a picture with it so that, you know, it's like authorization that it's me getting this picture, not to keep it, but just to show it, and then they can sell it on the internet. I'm like, no, man, that's for you. And he was like,
sweet, thanks, man, so much.
And it was an awesome, awesome painting. So, but I got to watch him on stage play the entire gig. He's definitely one of my favorite drummers.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, Questlove always keeps it in the pocket. You know, he always keeps it solid. He keeps it in orbit.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you ever see him, like, throw down and, like, blow some chops, you know, and just, like, go a little crazy, you realize how much skill he has. He's also a walking encyclopedia of music. I mean, the guy is just like, you know, he's got a brain the size of the fucking sun. So, I mean, and then rock, Carter Beaufort.
I was just about to say, I was waiting. I was waiting for him. We were talking.
Virginia connection. See
We were talking about, you know, all about Dave and all that crap
he's
today.
My favorite, man.
Yeah.
He's still my favorite.
Yeah, that I went. You were at that show where Herbie Hancock got up on stage.
What a show was that, huh?
It was incredible. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, I was up in the nosebleed seats, and my friend was like, "Someone really important just got up on stage," and I'm like, "There's no keyboard in the Dave Matthews. That's Herbie Hancock."
Like, don't make an exception. Yeah, you know what? He is one of my favorite drummers. His pocket's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, he's easily one of the most creative drummers out there. Like the stuff he thinks of, and for a drummer, drummers, we get into the studio and we're asked to do this, that, or the other. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be the simplest thing, right? It's going to be the simplest, most in the pocket, lay it down, easy, repetitive, and you do it right. Lay it down, collect check, go home, right? And Carter Beaufort is one of those few drummers that can do something like Steve Gadd did with Paul Simon, to do something truly creative, but that still fits the music. And he, I mean, you listen to some of the stuff that he does on those recordings, and he gets away with, for drummers, he gets away with murder, man. Yeah, I mean, he gets away with the sickest stuff, and you know, you can't help but be a little bit envious, like, man, I wish I was allowed to do that in the studio.
But he makes great parts. I think the great parts are a big part of it.
Oh,
the
list could go on. I'm a big Mike Clark fan. Actually, I've taken some lessons with Mike. Mike Clark, he was one of Herbie Hancock's main drummers in the 70s. And after Harvey Mason left the first Headhunters project to do session work, Mike Clark was on the second Headhunters album, the Thrust album.
That's one of my favorite records.
Yeah, and that's Mike Clark was one of the leading exponents of the linear drumming movement, which was happening in the 70s, and a lot of that came out of Oakland, you know, so like David Garibaldi from Tower of Power, Mike Clark, you know, those cats, you know, and then there were other, you know, cats who, you know, like in particular, like Steve Gadd was like this whole thing happened in the 70s where drumming
was like more progressive than those old school cats.
They were all doing something called linear drumming. You know that was a different approach to the
Alex
instrument.
Alex very happily took me over to the studio today, and we were listening. What was the track we were listening to that had you bring it up?
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Oh, right, and he brought up linear drumming and. Yeah, exactly. The single beat only emphasis. There's only one thing going on at any given time with the way the drums are played. And I didn't know this. And he brought me over to the studio, and he was just like, "Well, look, here's some jazz." And then he just broke it down, and I was like, "I didn't even know." Cool.
Yeah, it's a fun way of looking at the drums. You just take one note at a time, jam them all together, and all of a sudden it becomes a groove.
Well, you also see like Steve Gadd plays with Paul Simon, James Taylor, Eric Clapton.
Yep.
It's like,
everybody.
How can he switch bags?
Versatility.
And he's so slamming at all of them.
And you see him play jazz, too, sometimes. You know, you see him play jazz. He's a sick jazz drummer, you know? I mean, and one of the reasons he gets, he's one of the most hired drummers on the planet is that he's so versatile and he's so adaptable to any given situation. He can handle anything you can throw at him. I heard this story. I think maybe the story is true or not, but I heard a story that he was asked to come into the studio to record a track for I don't know who it was for. He sat there and he said, "Make me a pot of coffee," and he sat there and he listened to the track like, you know, something like 30 times and drank the entire pot of coffee, went in, nailed it in 3 takes.
Wow.
Or like, you know, something like that. You know, went in there and just went, okay.
That's his recipe for success right there. Give me that coffee.
And some drugs.
And 30 tracks.
Let's get to one of your tracks. What do you want to play?
Well, let's see. You're on my SoundCloud page
We're not on the SoundCloud.
I got a Windows to the Sky.
Alex, okay, well, let's. Okay, so I want to pump up this artist that I'm working with right now. We've been collaborating for a few years now. Joseph Newhouse, Joseph, a.k.a. Windows to Sky. Is one of the most talented songwriters I have ever worked with, and I am not on this track, but I'm pumping him up because he is about to release a double album that I am blessed to have been asked to do some drum work on, and this one I don't even know what he sent me. He said it was a secret promotion, so I don't know what we're going to listen to, but apparently, but it's probably going to be good. So
Joseph,
Windows to Sky.
Green and blue, and the moon won't even look at you. Cool and so. Thank you.
like it. It's beautiful.
And then
a little applause. I don't have my soundboard. We'll do
Joseph.
Nice.
And then that next one that I was going to play is the one I'm going to be releasing off of a compilation album.
This is
me, David Hilton, and Brad Rabuchin. I don't think you've mentioned Brad's name before. He actually toured with Ray Charles a little bit, right before Ray died, and he toured with David Fathead Newman and played with a bunch of guys. He's a noted local jazz guitarist. David Hilton has been playing bass out here for years. He's a sick bass player. And this is actually going to be the part of the first compilation album stuff that we started recording. Oh, must have been 3 years ago. That's going to be we've probably got about 3 albums worth of work.
Wow!
Yeah, so that's all gonna get released. This is a Pat Metheny tune. It's called Bright Size Life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Woo! That was awesome.
Yeah, Alex.
Jazz party in the house. I love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that there is going to be I won't say a goodbye jam session, but there will be a jam session happening. It will probably be at the Industry Cafe and Jazz in Culver City. We're still trying to work out exactly where the venue is going to be. And you can visit my website. The website is alexplattmusic.com and be able to see that. Or you can just visit my personal Facebook page. Just look up Alex Platt. I'm the easiest
spell
man in the world.
Because people are dumb.
A-L-E-X-P-L-A-T-T. You can look me up there. And you can also look up West Side Drum Lessons and Recording, which is my business name. And you can find it pumped up there as well. So it'll be probably on the 16th or the 17th of February. That's when this jam session's going to happen. Nikki, I hope you can make it.
I'll be there, man.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm so happy that we got you back before you moved.
I'm glad to be back, man. Thanks for bringing me in.
You know, as a goodbye treat, your friend Sarah is going to play us off. What are you going to play us off with, Sarah?
So as I alluded to before, my biggest influence as a musician, period, is Motown music. And so I'm going to play one of my favorites by one of my biggest influencers ever, Martha Reeves.
Ooh, all right.
One, two, and one.
Thanks for being a wonderful guest. Sarah, thanks for being our special guest.
Hell yeah.
That was wonderful. Thank you for having us. That was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Bolton, thanks for being our special guest with headphones and playing video games.
Thank you.
All right.
Nice.
He's punished in the corner. Eddie,
all right.
As always, a pleasure.
Eddie, thank you very much,
Eddie. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, LA.